My next guest is on the line. We speak to him now and again on the Israel Report, but today it's standalone. He's Ben Dror Yemeni. He's a journalist for Yediot Ahronot, and he's just written an article. I'm going to read you the title of it. Iran's ideology of destruction makes military power alone a dangerous illusion. Ben Dror Yemeni, thank you for being with us on Chai FM again.
Thank you for having me.
So, Ben Dror, you won't know this, but yesterday I actually summarized your article about Trump and Churchill, and we discussed it here on the Home Run. It's a piece that was really strong and really stayed with me. This idea that the West has simply lost the will to fight for what it claims to believe in. I think, I mean, we're seeing it happen and unfold right in front of our very eyes. But in this new article, you go even further and you say that Israel isn't even facing a country, but an ideology. And I'm just wondering, maybe you want to explain that for us in the context of Iran. And also, what is it about that ideology that makes it so utterly incompatible with a Jewish state in the Middle East?
Yeah, well, this ideology of the radical Islam is actually not about Israel. I mean, when you check, for example, according to many research about what happened with the jihad. And when I'm saying jihad, I mean radical Islam from both sides, Sunni and Shiites.
Yeah.
You find out that I'm not speaking about both. I'm not speaking about what happened in Yemen or Syria or other places. Only terror. We are speaking about more than 300,000 people that were killed, that were murdered by terror, by ideology of the radical Islam. Now, if you add I don't know how many, but maybe 40,000 people that were killed by Iran, by the regime, when they killed their own people, you find out actually that we are speaking about ideology. And they are, wherever they are, they just have destruction. Look at Lebanon, look at Yemen, look at other places, look at the Sahel countries in Africa. It's always the same. And they kill Muslims, something which the West is totally ignoring, something which the scholars, the progressive scholars, like to ignore. They speak about jihad like a kind of okay, they are looking for, they are striving for any kind of liberating themselves or whatever. No, they are not. They are trying to impose their the darkest kind of regimes wherever they are. By what? By mass killing. And this is what Israel is facing, but not only Israel. I mean, Israel maybe is in the front line, but we're speaking about so many people in the West that are actually facing problems with the Muslim Brothers. Just to remind us what wrote the founder of the Muslim Brothers, Hassan al-Banna, and he wrote it in 1938. Mm-hmm. And he wrote that actually we, the Muslim brothers, we are the industry of death. And this is what we are facing right now. By the way, this expression, industry of death, was repeated by Hamas leaders in the last 20 years.
It's interesting to me that when you mentioned the countries that this ideology is willing to sacrifice for its greater ideals, you actually didn't mention Iran. And I heard yesterday, I think it was Khaviv Retegur saying that Iran is a country that has probably next to Saudi Arabia the largest reserves of fuel on the planet. It should, by all accounts, be one of the wealthiest countries in the world, and yet it has a GDP equivalent to Haiti. To Haiti, which is a failed state. So it's not just that it's an ideology that doesn't find activation within the society. They actually believe it to that extent that they're going to impoverish themselves.
Yeah, because that's what they are. I mean, they could, in many places, look, for example, at the Gaza Strip, since 2005, totally ruled by Palestinians themselves and by the Hamas, actually, they could receive billions of dollars in order to invest in whatever is needed. education, welfare, industry. No, it's not what they wanted. I mean, people sometimes blame Israel for the blockade and so on. Nonsense. They refused. They refused to change the way because the huge amount of money was already waiting for them, with one condition: no more terror. And they refused. They preferred terror. This is the ideology that you are fighting. Now, okay, if we go to history, of course, and now I will go to the Shiite side, victimhood is a kind of victory. The very fact that you are killed by the enemy, this is a kind of victory for them. I will not go to all history of the Shiites and what happened so many years ago, but for them, until now, for them, this is a victory. And from one hand, they are destroying their own states, and that's what they do. Nothing to do with Israel. I mean, Israel has nothing to do with Iran. Nothing. I mean, we are not occupying anything. We don't want anything. They are fighting because they need the struggle as in order to be, I don't know, maybe victims, in order to keep on with the killing machine, with the industry of death. It's very sad, but we have to face it. And if we do not face it, and I am afraid they do not, that we do not face it, we cannot deal with it, but we have to face it.
I find that really interesting reading your article, because you make the point that overwhelming force won't deter Iran the way that Israelis expect. So the argument that if you hit them hard enough, they'll beg for a ceasefire, you say that's a dangerous illusion. And then if we just think about Lebanon for a moment, I mean, Hezbollah knew, they knew for certainty that Lebanon would pay 100 times over for the attacks against Israel, but they still went ahead. So then the question is, what on earth is Israel to do?
The first condition in order to do something is to face the reality. And to face the reality is to know what we are speaking about right now. And unfortunately, so many of us, and I'm speaking about so many leaders, and look what's happening right now with the new deal, the new memorandum with Iran. Totally ignored. The whole story is totally ignored. Not only that, that it looks like a huge fund of $300 billion, are going to be transferred as investment to Iran. I mean, what? I mean, it's just like to say that the United States and Britain should compensate Germany after the Second World War. I mean, it's so inconceivable that you don't believe that it is happening. But that's exactly what is happening. I mean, and it is happening by who? By the White House that was supposed to be understanding the realities. But could be expected maybe from the any progressive president, but not from Trump. But that's exactly what is happening, and it's quite regrettable.
I don't want to appear as like overdramatic, but driving to studio this afternoon, and now just bear in mind I've read both your articles in 2 days, it kind of struck me that we are at a pivotal moment in history. I don't know why, but my brain took me back to the Ottomans at the gates of Vienna, and I just thought, this is the moment, we're at that moment. This is the moment where the West needs to decide, are we going to fight for what the societies we believe for? Or won't we? Because otherwise, the game's over. You know, if the Viennese had not fought the Ottomans, it would have been a Muslim Europe now. Do you see any kind of parallel? Do you think we're in that kind of position? Or do you think actually that moment's already passed?
It might be. It might be. Let's not forget that there was another kind of Islam. And yes, there is. I mean, not all Islam is jihad. And we cannot forget the golden age between Jews and the Muslims in Spain, Andalusia. We cannot forget it. And we also have good times, even in Turkey, the capital of the Ottoman Empire, the center of the... we had better times. Not now. Right now it looks like that the radicals are winning. And they are winning not only because of themselves, they are winning because of the coalition, the green-red coalition of jihadists with progressives, unfortunately. Will they understand one day or that everything is lost? I don't want to think that everything is lost. I want to believe that that there will be a kind of understanding which will eventually arrive. I hope so. I hope so. I prefer to be optimistic.
I think we all do. There's no question about that. It's just I don't want to underestimate the seriousness of this moment. I think America has done a terrible disservice to Israelis in the Western world, showing that they won't stand up for what it is they believe in. But I just want to pick up on what you were talking about, that it's not all Islam, because if you look at something like the United Arab Emirates, I mean, I'm going to be speaking to your colleague in half an hour, Sharon Nitzer. She's also a journalist at Ynet. She talks about being Israeli in the UAE and what a New York type environment it is, in terms of people are talking to each other, that it is a melting pot of ideas and people. And I'm wondering, what is it about the Islam in the United Arab Emirates? And forgive me, I know nothing about them. But what is it that it creates this different kind of Islam that appears to be so very different to the Islamicism that we are seeing perpetrated by and pushed by Iran?
It's very interesting what you're saying, because years ago I had a visit to Dubai, yes. Okay? And before the Israelis arrived, before the agreements were even signed, the Abraham agreements, and I met a guy with a kippah.
Yes.
All of a sudden, I said, yes. What? A guy was kidding. Of course, I approached him and asked him, what are you doing here? And then he told me, I told him, I'm from Israel. Nice to meet you. And then he told me that he's a banker. He's working there. And I said, are you not afraid to walk around with a kippah and everybody can identify you? And I said, look, he told me, I'm coming from Paris. And in Paris, I could not have a kippah my head. Here, every second person is welcoming me. And it's so wonderful. Now, a very good question. I mean, what is the difference? And the difference is education. It's not now. It's long before the Abraham Accords were signed. They had a special education for tolerance. And it changed. Yes, it changed the whole public opinion. It changed the mood. And it's an article that I'm working on, a bigger one, not for the newspaper, about... No, I'll tell you. The connection between Jews prospering and the prospering of the country wherever they are. Or peace with Israel, and what does it mean for the country that is making peace with Israel? If you like the Jews, or if you like the Jewish state, probably you're going to prosper. This is how things are working. And you look at the countries that are actually failing, they are against Israel. And you look at the countries, even in the Arab world, that are welcoming Israelis or Jews, they are doing much better.
It's almost biblical.
And look at the golden age. Yeah, it's the golden age it's over probably in the United States. I mean, for the last 20, 30 years, Jews prospered. And you see that even the United States was much better off. But you look at Harvard, for example, university is the most prestigious university in the United States. And from something like 20-something percent of Jews, it declined to something like 7%. It's mean everything. I mean, this decline is not the decline of Jews. This is the decline of the United States.
I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Ben-Dror Iemini, somehow we always anticipate the article that you are in the middle of writing. I absolutely love that. Once again, thank you so much for talking to us on Chai FM. I really, really appreciate your input.